Right, so you have the outline, so we may turn to the Gospel of Luke and chapter 14. Luke chapter 14, and we will read from verse 25 to the end of the chapter. And as you see in the outline, that the subject that we will speak about in this, I'll try to give you the 15 minutes. I'll try. I cannot promise, because I think we are 15 minutes behind. All right, so I'll try. So we are speaking about the hindrances in the way of discipleship. So in the morning, the Lord has laid before us his desire that we, every believer, be also a disciple. And we have seen these entering into this life of discipleship. And we would like now, from this portion of the Word of God, through the words of the Lord Jesus himself, also that we can speak about what can hinder my life as a disciple. So in verse 25 says, "And there went great multitude with him, and he turned and said unto them." And of course, the Lord Jesus, I will try to speak along as we are reading the Word of God. So as he is someone that can heal by a touch of his hand, can heal from a distance by a word, someone that was became known of him, that he has a control over the sea and the wind, someone that can stand in front of the most intellectual people and discuss with them, and they ask them questions, and they struggle in answering his questions. So now he was followed by great multitude, admiring that person. Probably for certain, maybe one of them wants to be healed for different purposes. They were following him. Maybe they thought that he is able to multiply these loaves and fishes, and now they don't have to work and they can be fed by him. Maybe that they have different reasons. And the Lord, as he turned and saw this great multitude, now he started to speak to them. "Are you following me? Are you coming to follow me? And you are going to come with me? I would like to tell you that there are certain things that I will lay before you, and I will make it very clear and honest in these following verses." So he started to talk to them, and in verse 26 say that, "If any man come to me, and he hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life, also he cannot be my disciple." Verse 27, "And whosoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." And then in verse 28, he started to speak about some illustrations. He put before them some analogy or illustration from verse 28 and say, "For which of you, intending to build a tower, sits not down first and counts the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it, lest haply, after he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it began to mock him, saying, 'This man began to build and was not able to finish.'" Verse 31, another one, he is giving them, "Or What king going to make war against another king sits not down first and consults whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that coming against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sends an ambassage and desires conditions of peace. Verse 33, so likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsakes not all that he has, he cannot be my disciple. Salt is good, but if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be seasoned? It is neither fit for the land, nor yet for the dunghill. But men cast it out. He that has ears to hear, let him hear. So far the word of God. So we have read it. We have read here the repeated sentence that the Lord have said, cannot be my disciple. So he said it three times in these verses. One time in verse 26, he say, cannot be my disciple. And verse 27 also end with that phrase, cannot be my disciple. And then in verse 33 again, after he mentioned these two illustrations, he said that he cannot be my disciple. So as we speaking about what can hinder you to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus, I would like to lay before you six hindrances in these verses. And I will mention them for you first. So if the time will allow us to go through the six, then we briefly will try to go in each one of them. If the time will not allow, then maybe in the discussion or later on in a fellowship time that we can take these hindrances. So I would like to mention them, and there is a conclusion that the Lord also has made. So this is my talk with you this afternoon. So six hindrances and a conclusion at the end, so we can follow through what we are going to take in this portion. The first one, if you would like to jot them down, and then we will go through them. The first one, not giving the master the supreme affections. Not giving the master the supreme affection. Number two, not ready to embrace life of sacrifice over being self-centered. Not ready to embrace the life of sacrifice rather or over being a self-centered. Number three, not ready to embrace life of pain over pleasure. Not ready to embrace life of pain over pleasure. Number four, embracing religion over relationship. Embracing religion over relationship. And number five, failure to acknowledge the insufficiency of man and the enabling riches and power that we have in God. Failure to acknowledge that man is insufficient and we have the full riches and power of God. Because now we're talking about discipleship and how I live as a disciple. I have to acknowledge now my shortcoming, my insufficiency, where this power exactly is coming from, where these riches to continue on in this commitment coming from. And lastly, is failure to detach and forsake all things. Failure to detach. Right? So we will try to speak about these six hindrances as the Lord have laid them here in these verses. So in verse 26, he say these very words that it might appear very strange. when he say, if any man come to me and hate not his father and his mother. So hate not his father and his mother. And someone might ask, we know that I have to honor my father and my mother. And if you look at this culture that the Lord was speaking during these days, these are very well-knitted families that they were so together as the oppression of the Romans were upon them. So every family were very knitted together and they were beside each other and for each other. And he's telling them now, the Lord, that if anyone will hate not his father and his mother, cannot be my disciple. And then he goes furthermore, and also his wife and his children. Wife, the word of God teaches us that husbands love your wives as Christ loved the church. So how he is saying such words, how the Lord is saying such words, that we cannot be his disciple if we hate not. And then brethren and sisters, and I will go and say that every other relationship that I can have in this life. And to understand this, what the Lord is exactly saying when he say, hate not his father and his mother and his wife and his children and his brother and his sister. So we can understand it in a way that if my affection toward any human being, even that my father or my mother, my dearest in life, is compared with my affection toward him, my affection toward any human being is considered like hatred. I hope that this is clear. So as you compare between your love to any loved one on earth to the love of the Lord, this is considered like hatred for the kind of affection that I should have toward my Lord. And the question now before us, if I am a disciple of the Lord, where is my affections? Where is my love? What really is my delight in this life? Am I delighted in any sort of a relationship more than my delight in the Lord? In the book of Deuteronomy, we read that to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. The love of the Lord will supersede anything else that and any relationship that I have in this life. He is really taking my affection. Someone is very dear to me. I would like to, I don't have enough time of the day to speak to him. Yes. Not giving the Lord and the Master the supreme affection in my life and my heart is a hindrance. And in a conference like this, for those of you, and I trust that many of us here, has been born again, has been come to the truth of believing in the person of the Lord Jesus and repenting unto God, and have become a child of God, the Lord is seeking today disciples. Each disciple is a believer, but not every believer is a disciple. Where is your affection? And the Lord goes on in verse 26 and say also that, yeah, and his own life. And his own life. And we heard in the morning that the entrance or the admission to this school of discipleship and to be disciple of the Lord, it's through death, through sacrifice, through forsaking all what I have of rights as a human being. Remember the words of the Apostle Paul in the book of Romans and chapter 12 and verse 1, after he lays before them all the work of Christ and what he has done for them and the righteousness that we have got freely by grace in the person of the Lord Jesus. He tells them, therefore, because of all that, I beseech you to present yourselves as a living sacrifice. As a living sacrifice. Am I ready to be a living sacrifice? I'm alive. It's two words that are opposite to each other. How can I be sacrificed and how can I be a living at the same time? Yes. I have counted, I have reckoned myself that I already, this hand, already died to sin, died to my desire, and now my hand is only working as an instrument for God and His work. My eye, the same. In the history, there is a man of God, his name is Augustine. And Augustine was living throughout his life. He has a godly mother that was praying for him all his life. And he lived a life in as it gave him of all the wickedness of a life of a young man. And after the time has come and the prayer of his mother has been answered on time by the Lord, and he came to know the Lord as his Savior. He was walking in a street, and he heard the voice behind him, Augustine, Augustine. And it was one of the women that he lived in sin before. Augustine. And he didn't answer her. And then she went to him and she started to shake him and tell him, Augustine. Told him, Augustine died. He's not alive anymore. The one that you know before, he is dead. I'm now living for God. Augustine now, his hand, his eye, his feet is living for God. And he started to give her the gospel of the Lord Jesus that has changed his life. Beloved, if you have come to the truth of being bought with a precious blood, you have to realize, and I have to realize, that I live not for myself. It's a life of sacrifice, rather than life of self-centered. This life that we are living now and all what's around us is just everyone is centered around himself. Exalting self. Everything is to promote self. But the one who would like to be a disciple has to know that self already has died and has no rights, and only I have now the Spirit of God that will maintain the rights of my Savior in my life and every day I walk here on earth. This is in verse 26. We go quickly to verse 27. And he say, and whosoever does not bear his cross, so not ready to embrace life of pain over life of pleasure. Yes. We were singing earlier, when I survey the wondrous cross. These people that the Lord was speaking to could not say the wondrous cross. Now we know that the cross is a wondrous cross. It is through which we have obtained the salvation of God. It is a wonderful word to us. But to them, all what they had in their mind as Jews surrounding him, that the cross is an instrument of torture that they have seen their friends or their family or their loved ones carrying that cross, heavy cross, walking in the roads of the city and going there to the place and hanging them and nailing them with their hands and their feet. That's what they're in their mind about the cross. Lord, what you are telling them. This is the most tortuous way for anyone to die, leaving them there 2-3 days in their sweat and their urine and their feces in a very terrible situation. It is a horrible death. It's pain. And you're telling us, if you cannot come after me and you bear your cross, you want to be a disciple of the Lord? It's a road of pain and suffering. What are we ready for? Are we only seeking and looking for this worldly acceptance and this worldly respect and this what I can get out of this world? Or now I have put in my heart that I have decided to follow Jesus, and the road that I am following him in is a road of suffering and a road of pain, maybe a road of rejection. I have that mindset that I have in my heart that if they will not accept me in my school, if they will not look at me, if I will not be able to be their friend, or I'm ready to forsake all what I learn, all what the Bible tells me, because now I have to be also accepted by them in the school. I have to be friend with everybody. I have to be someone that is liked by everybody. No, I don't have to. The disciple doesn't have to. It's a road of suffering. That am I ready to embrace a life of pain over the life of pleasure? Yes, I know that we are young people and all what we talk about, did you have fun? Did you have good time? And what is a good time we are talking about exactly? The disciple does not have time. And I thank the Lord for all of you that have that desire to be in this conference and coming to hear about these words. But I'll tell you something, that if you heard these words, we will come at the end, that if you have an ear to hear these words, now each one of us have become responsible of the word or before the word of God. And not only that, but the Lord is telling them, carry your cross and come after me. Come after me. And I would like to just spend a few minutes in that. Come after me. And that's what number four I said, which is embracing religion over relationship. Christianity and discipleship is following the Lord. It's following him. The Lord said that if your life will be tainted with pain and suffering, your life will be a personal relationship between you and me. And I want to emphasize on that. We were talking in the break earlier that I am not to look to the right or to the left or to brother so or to sister so. These are not what my occupation is or what my mind is. But my mind and my occupation is to look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of the faith. This is what I'm looking at him. And as I'm walking from day to day, I am following him. And I would like to say that we cannot be his disciples unless you have an intimate spiritual relationship with your Lord and Savior. Close one. We have heard earlier that the disciple is the learner. And where you are going to learn from? Where are you going to hear the voice of your Lord? You will not sit down here and just hear voices. It will not happen. But I can tell all of us that he has said it all in this letter of love that he has sent to us. If your affection is supreme toward him, I love him dearly, my Savior, my Lord, I am following him every day, and he has sent to me this love letter, I cannot put it in the shelf. You all young men and young women, and you understand what affections toward one another can be. And if you receive a note or a letter from someone that you have affection and you have love and relationship with, imagine that you will not read it for days. Or if you read it, you say that, I don't understand it. And it becomes something heavy to you. Beloved, if we will not have a personal relationship through the Word of God every day, you say, I read, but I don't understand. Read it. You say, I read it, but I feel sometimes I'm bored. Read it. Read the Word of God. I don't exactly know what it's talking about here. Search it. We are in the day of the YouTube that if you don't know how to fix a plumbing or electrical, you go to the YouTube and have a way, and everyone can learn everything nowadays, right? We have a lot of resources. So there is no excuse for any one of us that say, oh, this is a very difficult book. I cannot really understand what the Word of God is saying here to me. I cannot. Yes, search it. Be diligent in that. If I want to be a true disciple of the Lord, I cannot be a disciple without having a relationship, a personal relationship with him. It's not just coming to the meeting every Sunday and every Tuesday or every... It's not just that. It's not just being among the group of believers. It's not just that. It's wonderful things to do. But unless I have that personal relationship, that, as we heard today, that the first thing in the morning I wake up, and the one that I love dearly, through the whole night I was meditating in his word. In his word, meditate day and night. I wake up in the morning and I tell him, you awaken an ear for me to hear your voice. And where I'm going to hear your his voice and I'm going to follow him throughout the day is through his word. Please, do not let the day go without spending a time with the Word of God. Read the Word of God in order. Read the Word of God with understanding and ask and live by the Word of God and have that personal relationship with the Lord through His Word. So embracing life of religion rather than having a personal relationship. How is your personal relationship with the Lord? Are you conscious that you are in His presence? Elijah stood there before King Ahab and he told him, before the God whom, the living God before whom I stand. I'm standing before him now. Whenever you speak, whenever you talk, whenever you look, as a disciple, you need to understand that you have that conscious acknowledgement that you are in his presence. That I am in his presence. I am seeing him and I'm walking beside him. And then he gave them these two illustrations that we spoke about, and we can summarize them in the hindrance number 5 that I mentioned to you. So he tells them that someone started to build a tower and he did not count the cost. So he put the foundation and then he could not complete. So people are walking around and say that he started but could not complete. And they started to mock him. Yes. You know that? That sometimes we become like, you know, the mockery of this world around us. Oh, they are Christian. Oh, look, they go to the church. Oh, look, they are, you know, calling themselves that follower of Christ. Yeah, and they mock him because he started, but he could not complete. And then he said that a king that has an army of 10,000, and now he has another king with an army of 20,000. And now he has to figure it out. Am I going with the 10,000, overcome and conquer the king that has 20,000? And if he doesn't, then probably he should send someone and start to have like a peace treaty or some kind of peace talk together, so he will not go there and embarrass himself and endanger his soldiers. And then the Lord followed this, and he say, likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsakes not all that he has, he cannot be my disciple. So what does he want to the Lord say about these two analogies that he has given in these, one for the building the tower and one king now that has 10,000 against the king of 20,000. He wants to tell you that we are insufficient. Man is insufficient. I can start, but actually I cannot complete. And whatever I have, it might not be enough to make me conqueror and to make me an overcomer. And as you acknowledge this, you need to acknowledge also that your richness and your power is in God. And he is able to enable you to continue on in your life. And this has to be entering into the cost. I'm very sure today, Sam has asked an excellent question in the morning about the struggle that comes from within. And maybe one of us here say that, I don't think that I can be a disciple. If I will count the cost to have that sort of affection toward the Lord, to have that life of like I die to everything around me and live only for him and serving him, this is a very difficult life. I can do that. But this illustration that the Lord is giving you and telling you, I know that you are insufficient in yourself and you don't have that. And you have to bring into the equation the ability of God and the Spirit of God that we have indwelling us that will enable us to finish the tower and to conquer the other one, the other king. Even all what I have in my hand is shortcoming. Even what I have in my hand is not enough. By the human reasoning is not enough. But the power of God is able to make me a conqueror and overcomer, no matter how you are and who you are against if in your life. If God is with you, he is much more powerful and greater than those enemies that they can come against you. Would you trust him today? Would you surrender to him in full trust and tell him, Lord, I love this life of disciple. I would like to be a disciple, but I can't. And you will hear from him, I know that you cannot, but I will enable you. I will give you that power. I'll give you these riches in your life that you can be my disciple. But he also say that he that forsakes not all that he has. Yes. And I know that most of you are young people. Some of you have gone to colleges and you tell me, thank God, I have nothing. I'm in debt to school. I'm not worried about what I have because I don't have much. But those who have, all right? Or when the Lord will give you, if he tarries and he will give you in your life. All right? Yes, they say that if I own anything, this thing owns me. If I own anything, this thing owns me. But if I realize that whatever I have in my hand, I don't own it. I'm just a steward here. And I'm detaching completely myself of anything that the Lord has given me, and I'm here just to run his business. My work is his work. My job is his job. Whatever he has given me in my hand, I am completely detached from it. If he has increased it, that's his. If he has decreased it, I'm not worried about it because it's his. I'm just here to carry out his plans in my life. So failure to detach yourself from anything you have in this life can be a hindrance in your life. But what is the conclusion? These are the six hindrances that the Lord has laid in these verses. But what is the conclusion? The conclusion in verse 34. He said, salt is good, but if the salt have lost its savor, as if he's saying that to be Christian is good, but if you will not be disciple, you will be losing your flavor and your savor. And you know what? Instead of being, we all know how useful the salt is. No one of us can eat without salt, right? The food will be tasteless. Salt can preserve. He said that it will not be good for taste. It will not be good for preserving. It will not even be good for the dunghill that they can fertilize the land with. It cannot be good for anything. It cannot be good for anything. And I think this is the conclusion. So the conclusion of the life of the Christian, the Lord desire that we be disciples, would you exchange this desire with him today? And tell him, Lord, I would like to be your disciple. He wants us to be his disciples. He wants us to be, he has given us all. We cannot give him a little. And I will tell you that the Lord concluded after he spoke to them that either you will be useful, either you will be able to change the environment around you. He has raised you on that school. Do you know that? He has raised you on that kind of job. Do you know that? And for such a time, he has raised you. Will you be useful? And if you will not be a disciple, he's saying that you will be good for nothing. It's serious. Imagine that he's concluding this talk here, that he will say you will be good for nothing. Listen to these harsh words. But men cast it out. Has no use. Has no use. It is a serious matter that if I have lived as a believer for a year, for two, for three, for five, for 10, for whatever it is, the Lord allowed that today in this conference, we speak about this very important, vital subject in the Christian life, because he wants to tell you, are you going to be useful or useless? You want to continue on? Do I want to continue on, Lord, to be not of any use? To change? He told the disciple, go and disciple them. You know, the Lord sent you to the school that you are in because he wants others to see you as a disciple and they become disciples. And how many one we have made disciple of the Lord. Each one of us answer this between him and the Lord. How many one in my lifetime has come to know the Lord as their Savior, and through the impact and the change that they have seen in my life, that they started to change in their lives, and they have surrendered to the Lord Jesus, and they have also became disciples. I know that some of us here, maybe for various reasons, you have come to this conference, maybe, I don't know what is in your mind, coming to this conference, but you have came today, and you have been under the sound of the word of God. And the Lord finished this portion with these words. He that has ears to hear, let him hear. He that has ears to hear, let him hear. Let's bow our heads and ask the Lord that gave us to be hearer of his words and respond to him. Some of you have sat here and impacted by the word of God. And some of you have sat here, look at the watch, when it will finish and the day will go on. And the Lord is seeing each heart and each one of us. What exactly my attitudes, the attitude of my heart, what exactly where my heart is, and how I'm responding to this very solemn call that he wants me to be useful. He wants me to be influential, effective, wherever I am as a Christian. Father, we thank you for the great example of the Lord Jesus, thy beloved Son. We thank you because we're not to look to the right or to the left, but we're looking unto him. We know that from ourselves, we cannot. These hindrances are before us. But who can bring all them down? And who can take our hands and walk us in the road of victory and lead us to be victorious in our lives, to enjoy the richness of God in your person, Lord Jesus? So we commit these words that you have, thy beloved Son, have uttered on earth, and by thy Spirit is recorded to us, that these words will penetrate our hearts, our minds, and will bring the effect. We thank you for the exercise, and we pray that in these last and closing days, that we will be useful, that we will be glorifying to your name every day we walk here on the earth. In his worthy and precious name we pray. Amen. Amen.